Now the epistle appointed to be read for the third Sunday of Advent, Gaudete Sunday, is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Philippians, chapter 4. Brethren, rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say rejoice. Let your modesty be known to all men. The Lord is nigh. Be nothing solicitous, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your petitions be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 1. At that time, the Jews sent from Jerusalem priests and Levites to John to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed, and he did not deny, and he confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then, art thou Elias?" And he said, "I am not." "Art thou the prophet?" And he answered, "No." They said therefore unto him, "Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." And they that were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said, "Why then dost thou baptize, if thou be not Christ, nor Elias, nor the prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there hath stood one in the midst of you, whom you know not. The same is he that shall come after me, who is preferred before me, the latchet of whose shoe I am not worthy to loose." These things were done in Bethania beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. But by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your petition be made known to God. Words taken from the epistle of today's Mass, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, in the year 734 BC, a young man named Achaz became the king of Judah. Now Achaz was only 20 years old when he ascended the throne. And throughout his reign, the young king became infamous for being irresolute, idolatrous, and a slave to his passions. He reigned for about 16 years, and in this time he considered many unimaginable public scandals. At one point, he forced his firstborn son to perform a ceremony called the Walk Through the Fire of Moloch. This was a pagan ceremony of cremating alive one's own posterity in order to honor the demonic god Moloch. In addition to this atrocity, he had the pagan gods set up and worshipped in the temple of the one true God. He exhausted the treasury of the temple in sending gifts to his pagan allies, and he personally paid idolatrous homage to the pagan gods, even as he forced the priests of the temple to offer sacrifice to the gods. Now, my dear friends, before any of this happened, there was a most crucial moment in the life of Achaz, which led him to become such a heathen. And actually, this moment affected more than just Achaz's own personal life. It was, in fact, the most crucial moment in the whole history of the world. You see, soon after he had become king, his kingdom was almost immediately attacked by his enemies. Samaria and Syria threatened from the north, and Egypt threatened his kingdom from the south. In his insecurity and his panic, Achaz looked to his neighboring rulers for help. But God had other plans for Judah. Once again, God wanted to show his power, as he had done so often in the Old Testament, by making Judah victorious against all odds through his own all-powerful intercession. So it was that Almighty God sent Isaiah, the greatest of the prophets, to give a message to Achaz. God sent Isaiah at a time when the upcoming conflict was burning in the mind of the king. For at this time, the king was standing on a mountain cliff, overlooking all of Jerusalem. On this cliff were pools that provided Jerusalem with the water that would be necessary in case the city was attacked or under siege. And Ahaz had gone up to inspect them. He was making thus his last preparations for defending Jerusalem when Isaiah approached him and told him not to seek help from anyone but God. Now, this would have seemed impossible to the young king. How could he face such powerful enemies with just his own meager troops? Of course, God knew that to place all of his faith in God would have been quite a trial for Ahaz. So out of his loving mercy, God sought to strengthen the faith of this weak king. God told Isaiah to have Ahaz ask for any sign by which the king would know that Isaiah was really speaking from Almighty God. And this was the most crucial moment. The words began to burn in the king's ears. Ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God, either unto the depth of hell or to the height above. In other words, he was told, ask God anything you want, any sign, and he will give it to you, so that you will know that he is your God and your protector. Well, being a weak-willed person, Ahaz feared such a sign, because if a miracle was in fact worked, then he would have to conclude that Isaiah was a man of God and would have to live his life accordingly. If Isaiah had proven truthful, Ahaz would have to put away the alliances that he had already made with pagan rulers. So in a choice between keeping these rulers happy and listening to Almighty God, Ahaz chose the rulers. In a tone of blatant hypocrisy, he told Isaiah, I will not ask, I will not tempt the Lord. Here he was, one of the only men in history who could command a sign from God, and God was ready and willing to answer, and yet he refused to ask for anything. Angered at this hypocrisy and lack of faith, God declared through Isaiah that he would nevertheless send a sign. But now, rather than strengthening and defending Ahaz, this sign would be a condemnation for Ahaz and his entire race, while at the same time it would be a blessing upon those who accepted it. For the rest of time, those who refused to see this sign as coming from God would be cast off and reprobate like Ahaz, while those who accepted and believed the sign would win God's favor and protection. Now, everyone knows and has heard, especially during the Christmas season, what this sign was, but few know that these were the surrounding circumstances. But here is the sign that Almighty God gave to Ahaz, whereby he would show his power. Behold, Isaiah said, speaking from the words of God, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. He shall eat butter and honey, that he may know to refuse evil and to choose the good. Thus, the virgin birth of the Messiah would distinguish those who trusted God and those who did not. And the curse of those who would not see this as a sign from Almighty God, we know, reached its total fulfillment on Good Friday, when the Jewish nation rioted for the death of Mary's only begotten son. Now, after delivering this message, Isaiah departed to mourn over the loss of such an opportunity and to mourn over what would now become of God's chosen people. Ahaz left the pools that day to confirm himself in his trust for man and his own will. And as I already mentioned, throughout the rest of his life, he would turn more and more from Almighty God. And by the end of his reign, he would see a destruction of a most notable part of his entire kingdom. But my dear friends, there is a great lesson for us to learn in this incident. It is the lesson that God wants us to pray to him and to ask him for help in our times of need. Almighty God wanted Atkaz to look to him for help. He did not want his chosen people looking to others for their help in time of need. He was even prepared to perform any miracle that the wretched king demanded. And so, my dear friends, it is with us that God wants us to call upon him in our times of need. As St. Paul mentioned in today's epistle, we are to call upon God in all our needs. When adversity strikes, when things do not go our way, too often our first reaction is, how am I going to deal with this? How am I going to make this work or fix this situation? But my dear friends, that is all the wrong approach. Our first response must be, I need God's help. Or we can form a petition such as, Lord, help me to accomplish this task. You know, sometimes souls, through their best intentions, might think that God may not be interested in their needs, or that they are burdening him with constantly asking for his aid. But in reality, it's just the opposite. The more we call upon Almighty God, the more we pray during times of need, the happier God will be to help us. And when we pray for what we need, it helps us also to keep a good intention. After all, we will not pray and we cannot pray to God to help us obtain some evil. We cannot pray to God, of course, to help us offend him. So in this world that is full of temptation and allurements, by praying for all of our necessities, it will help us to keep ourselves honest, so to speak, and to make sure that everything we desire is really in union with God's will. Now, experience tells us that God does not always answer our prayers in the way that we want, but he does always answer them in the way that is best for us. For instance, in the life of Saint Monica, she prayed most earnestly that God would hinder her son Augustine from traveling to Italy. She did not want him to go to Italy, since Italy at the time was what we might call ground zero for immorality and paganism in her day. But God did not comply with her request. Saint Augustine did go to Italy. But through her prayers and her tears, God brought what Saint Monica really desired. And it was in Italy that St. Augustine met St. Ambrose, the Bishop of Milan, and came to a full conversion, which is what his mother most desired. So then, my dear friends, I encourage you today to take the exhortation of St. Paul to heart. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your petitions be made known to God. That is, pray to God for all that you need, and in all times of need. We saw how displeased God was with Atkaz for his lack of confidence. And what's more terrifying is the life that Atkaz went on to lead once he turned away from God's help and protection. Let us then, as good children, make our desires known to our Heavenly Father, so that with the help of his grace, it may be said of each of us, that like the promised Emmanuel, we will know how to refuse evil and to choose good. That is, if we pray for God's help in all things, he will help us to do what is right and to avoid what is wrong, so that when we are called to eternity, we may enter into that eternal glory which has been prepared for us by our promised Redeemer. May Almighty God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Thank you.